Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's telling you to get ready for the veto recap. Get ready for the veto recap. I am Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to our Wednesday night edition of our Big Brother recap to talk about a night where Frenchie faces a looming eviction on a Thursday night. He had one last stand at the veto. It did not go his way. We will talk about it all here tonight with another great panel to talk about all things Big Brother. Excited for talking about Big Brother with a man who reports about Big Brother, does the occasional BB&B with Liana Boris. You can hear him all over post-show recaps as well from parade.com. It's the give it up for the great Mike Bloom.
Thank you, Rob. I'm here and I'm erotic.
Yes. Always. Always. And Mike, you're pronouncing that a little too much like the word erratic.
Oh, I'm so sorry. You know, I do come from New England, so it just happens. And I did move down to New Jersey, much like Brent and Hannah wanted to do. So hopefully my accent can adjust a little bit and my ahs do not get confused with my o's anytime soon.
Yes. Okay. Yes. You are always full bloom and not just wild and all over the place like Frenchie.
Absolutely not. I see no DNA in him whatsoever. He and I are on separate ends of that evolutionary scale.
Yes. Okay. Mike, how are you enjoying the BB23?
This is an absolutely wild season. These people are on crack. What's going on in the season?
Yeah.
I've been loving it. You know what this reminds me of is like last year we went to like we were invited to like a fine dining experience at a Michelin restaurant. And we're like, ooh, get dressed up and the tie and tails and you sit down to this big meal of all this expensive food. And you're like, I'm not really liking this. And then you get hungry. The next week you're going out to dinner and you find like a greasy burger joint around the corner that you've never heard of before. And you're like, oh, don't give this a try. I don't really know what I'm in for. And it's delicious. Big Brother 23 is fast food and I am loving every R-grade client.
Da, 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 da. Mike's loving it. Yes. Okay. That's what they do. Mike, so excited to have you here for a BB recap, of course.
Yeah.
That very excited to have here with us on the recap. Of course, she's been talking about the live feeds with Taryn all season. Here is the great Maggie Morgan. Maggie, how are you?
Hi, Rob, or as we say in Italian, ciao.
Ciao.
I'm so excited to be
yes.
here.
Yes. Yes. How are you doing, Maggie?
I'm doing awesome. This episode was wild. Like Mike said, these people are doing something in there and I'm having a fabulous time. I have not loved a cast this much, maybe ever, like wow. In the history of watching Big Brother. This might be my favorite cast and they are just like ready to go, ready to give it to us. It's so fun. I'm having the best time.
Okay. Excited to have you here with us tonight. And then also we have here tonight, I mean, I just spoke about Joe Millionaire with, we'll see who's going to be a 750,000 at the end of this thing. It's Jason Reed. Jason, how are you?
Doing great, Rob. I was eating dinner tonight and I was preparing French fries and I put them in the grease and I just kind of smiled as they went down into the oil.
Mm-hmm.
Night.
Yeah.
So you can probably tell I quite enjoyed this episode with the downward spot, the fast downward spiral of Frenchie.
Boy, looks like he really had it all last week and then a very quick descent into the oil for Frenchie.
Yes.
So
he was rolling more than an egg off the top of a hen house during a rainstorm.
Yep. Yeah, that we saw Frenchie try to scramble like a bunch of eggs in the chicken coop when the rooster has gone out to pay his taxes.
That old adage. Yeah, yes. My grandpa used to say that one. Rob, put a smile on my face.
Yeah, classic. Classic folksy saying that everybody uses. All right. We're going to take your questions also later on the show. Rob has a website.com/BB podcast. You could always send in your questions along the way. And then, of course, on Thursday night, we'll be live after the eviction to talk about what happens when Frenchie or Brittany, who knows? Either one, whoever goes home, we'll talk about it Thursday.
Do you get to talk with the evicted house guest?
And then, assuming that the evicted house guest does exit press, we will have our exit interview on Friday. Taryn and I will talk with the latest house guest. I'm sure Mike will also have the exit press as well on Friday.
I'm really excited for that because I guarantee, Rob, you and I are going to get two completely different stories. Mm-hmm. It's going to be like, usually with these interviews, we try to disseminate the truth a little bit. That's not going to be the case here. Frenchie's going to open 1001 Nights Frenchie style and like read us a different story each and every time. So I'm excited to compare notes, much like everyone else did, and feel like we're part of the Big Brother 23 experience.
Yeah. I mean, I think tonight is going to be a little bit of like the eulogy for Frenchie before he ultimately is going to go out the door. Mike, in your storied reality TV history, have we ever encountered anyone like Frenchie? Do you have a comparison?
Frenchie, it's really tough because he really is a mixture of just like, he's like a hot dog with like the worst parts of all the worst contestants, right? Like,
Hold on. So I think I know what this is. Yeah. So I think I've seen this before on Big Brother.
I made like a pasta with hot dogs, ground beef, and everything I found around the house. This is like a beef sauce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Throw in like 30 liters of Diet Coke. You basically have that and have the French stew.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. It all makes sense.
Now it all makes sense. Frenchie was a character created by JC.
Oh my gosh, that's how Brent learned his Italian from JC.
Oh yes, exactly. That's storied European history. So I would say that Frenchie has to be, I think, the worst multi-week house guest I have ever seen. I think if you watch Peridium, you know that he makes a great case as to why Jacob from Big Brother 9, the very first boot from that season, is the worst player of all time.
Mm-hmm.
There, I could see the logic behind, like, at the Stockwatch last week, for example, like, people weren't giving him ones and twos, more so threes and fours, because there were outs going into this week. But he showed, like, what happens when you give that player another week in the game, which is just to somehow tailspin further and further into the mantle of the earth until you eventually melt your own game.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, boy, I guess it was exciting to watch. It was like, you know, an early July fireworks show that we got to see here with Frenchie. Frenchie was, you know, feeling like that maybe there could have been a way out heading into this. Jason, he wanted to tell Brittany, who was very upset, that, hey, leave this all up to me. I alone can fix this.
He wanted to win the veto and put it on Brittany's neck. So, like, after he wins the veto, what's the speech he's going to give when he doesn't put it around her neck? Like, well, Brittany, I knew I told you that I was going to put this around your neck, but like my mama always said, it's either you or the cow, and sometimes we've got to make hamburger.
Yeah. I think knowing what we know from Frenchie, it would be a little bit like, Brittany, there's nothing more I'd want to do than put this around your neck, but I can't because that this HOH isn't allowing me to do blah, 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 blah. Like, it's not my fault because somebody else, blah, blah, blah.
More so, it would be vagaries, right? It would be like, I like to, but there is a coalition within this group. The wolves are in the hen house at the moment, and I don't know about you, but I value my eggs, so consider these saved. I'm saving myself right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, we just can't skip over the sequence of them like walking into the bedroom and it literally feeling like the back room at like a funeral parlor. Like, that was the level of emotion that was coming out of these people. I was like, everybody needs to take a deep breath here. Like, if anybody has watched Sex in the City, and you've ever seen the first Sex in the City movie when Carrie gets left at the altar, mm-hmm. and the girls are holding her and Big runs up to her and Charlotte is like, no, stay away with her finger. Like, that was Azza to Frenchie, I felt like, in the back when she's like holding Brittany in her arms. I was like, this is the most dramatic post-veto reaction I feel like I've ever seen on this show. It was like four people openly weeping.
Yeah.
Especially with someone who's obviously a pawn. That it could not be any more Pawnee. Like,
I understand she probably has more difficulty processing her emotions, but it was also like Azza was also like weeping. Like everybody was crying. I was like, everybody needs to take a breath here.
Well, I think it's hard when Britney's wailing. Yeah. Why did you hurt her?
It's a contagious thing. Like someone in the room is weeping, so I feel like I need to weep too, just to show that I'm on their same level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Well, listen, Azza took lessons from Tiffany incredibly well, right? Of like, all right, I guess I better play up this crying thing. Go Jokers. A lot of Joker action in this episode. Mm-hmm. I think maybe it's the reason why is because they were so safe for that first week. They did not really get to experience any of the chaos that they were not susceptible to. So like the minute now they're not safe, they're like, oh my God, this is what not being safe feels like. I hate it. Give me back my safety, please. And maybe it just caused that volatile of a reaction.
I want to just go back to the opening credits that I thought that there was a line that particularly jumped out to me on from the previously on from Mr. Announcer guy. I don't know if this is a nickname for our HOH.
And Kai the Guy was riding high.
Kai the Guy, Maggie, is that something that they're using in the house?
I have not heard that one on the live feeds, but you know, sometimes what Mr. Announcer says can like soak into the ether of the house. So maybe they'll start.
Is this going to be his BB comic name? It's going to be Kai the Guy. We know it.
Riding high.
September. Yeah. Exactly. Like he's like strapped to a kite or something and he's flying around in the air.
Or he's just sitting there like with no background. He's just.
Yeah.
He's just a guy.
Yeah.
He's just a guy.
Well, come on. There's so much. There's Tai Kai. Tai Kai made a colorful game. You know, there's so many puns you can make off the word Kai. I feel like maybe they feel like he's long for this game and they don't want to, you know, they don't want to blow things too early.
Is that a kite reference?
Exactly. Yeah. Why would it be a kite reference?
No, you need wind.
I guess
so. The wind.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, all right. We'll see the teams react. We see the Kings react to this. They feel like you know the fun house is over. This things have really taken a serious turn now that Frenchie is on the block. We see the Queens get together, and Tiffany is giving Kai the Guy a lot of props for what needed to be done. Yes, Maggie.
Sorry, I'm just like laughing thinking about like Frenchie on the block and the whole dramatics of it. I'm just thinking about the episode and giggling. It's just so.
Because the Big Brother,
I love.
Well, you say it. You say the mood was akin to a funeral home. This is more so like a funeral home for like someone who was murdered, and Frenchie being like, "Don't worry, I'm gonna get him. I'm gonna get whoever did this." Mm-hmm. I'm gonna hunt him down myself. Like he is taking the sadness and like morphing that into both pity towards him, but also like I'm gonna blaze a trail right now. Don't you worry.
Mm-hmm.
It's just this is what I love about Big Brother. And when I do these live feed updates, it's so much more game focused. And I'm like over talking about Frenchie because he says like 1,000 annoying things. But in this like beautiful 42 minute television episode, it's just the most absurd thing you've ever seen. Like, how is this a person on TV? It's amazing.
It's a great question. He's been through a lot. And we've all been through a lot, too.
Go ahead, Jason.
I was going to say, but they played right into his hands because, you know, he knew this was coming.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it.
Listen, I'd be insulted if they didn't do it.
Yeah.
It means I was doing it. If I'm nominated week two, it means I definitely did a great job week
he's
one.
He said, I'm definitely making waves. Yeah. And he said, right after that, he said, I am the house, which I didn't really get what that meant.
Yeah. Is that like we are the city? Is that?
Yes.
Oh, you know what? Okay, so here's the thing. So let me put forward my grand unifying theory on Frenchie here. I think Frenchie is receiving outside help.
From the wall yeller?
Well, Frenchie, I think, is trying to film his own show, if you want to call it like French Frame or something, where he has like a microphone in his head and people from outside the house are telling him what to do.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, I think the people behind the mic are like the Impractical Jokers guys, because that's the only rationale I can think behind why they're being like, all right, say you're not going to nominate any women or minorities. Okay, go nominate a woman or minority. Okay, now go make a deal with them. Like now it's like, okay, yes. We're just nominated. Say you're the house. Okay, Now say you use the veto on Britney. Like, there is no other reason on earth why he thinks these are logical decisions to make.
So you know that alliance you just formed 2 days ago? Go around and tell everybody about it.
So,
Oh my gosh.
Everyone.
I was going to ask that, is it possible that he's America's player? But we would know about that. Is it possible? Is he France's player?
Ooh, that could be. Oh,
and it was right in front of you the whole time. His name was Frenchie.
All right, Frenchie, your alliance would be called the Slaughterhouse. That's your alliance in Michonne this week.
That's why he likes Brent, because he can speak Italian. It's the European connection.
European alliance.
Is that how he's going to blow the house up? Like, I got something to tell you. I'm France's player.
Mm-hmm. You should have that reveal.
Knows. He knows that America's going to send him a power. He's waiting for the envelope in the
France
DR.
Is sending him a power. Yeah.
You know what that envelope's going to say from America? You suck. Goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if they went through that of like packing it up, like, all right, I got my envelope, and it just says nope on it, and then they just send him off on his way.
So Frenchie eventually is going to talk to Kylan, and he was talking to him about the possibility of the veto, because Frenchie is going to use the veto on Brittany. Jason, Kylan's not really buying this.
No, not at all.
Nor should he.
He knows. No, not at all. Kylan does good in entertaining Frenchie. I think that's what you have to do with Frenchie's, like, entertain him and be like, yeah, sure. And then when he leaves, just be like, this idiot.
Well, that's what I think they cut out some stuff on the live feed. Because I believe, is this the chat where he's like, all right, we got a bigger plan. Like, we're going to backdoor one of the meatheads. He's back on the meathead train, right? Like, mm-hmm. He got off briefly at a stop to become the conductor of the meathead train. But now he's staunchly anti-meathead train. And I remember he had this conversation with Kai. And as soon as he walks out the door, Kai, the guy, turns to the camera. He's like, what am I going to do with that? Come on. Really? Like, I get it. But really, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's probably most people's reaction to any conversation with Frenchie. That might be how we end the exit interview.
Theorist. Yeah, you have to treat him like a conspiracy theorist. Like, yeah, totally. Yep. Yeah, definitely. Election was definitely stolen, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think his meathead hatred has to do with anything to his... with his French culture, being France's player? Do they not? They're like, get the prosciutto out of here.
Oh, I like that. They're like, oh no, we are French. Country. We like bread and cheese. We do not like meat.
Mm-hmm.
Please.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
Although he does like talk about a lot of meat imagery of butchers and slaughterhouse. So I don't know.
That's a cover. Like, oh, I can't be accepting instructions from the French. I love my meat imagery, and they clearly are a meatless culture.
Mm-hmm. So I guess let's go from meatheads to, I don't know, the opposite of a meat cute. Let's talk about Brent and Hannah. And they're talking in the hammock, and here is Brent describing what's going on with Frenchie.
Whatever he says, no one's going to believe anyway.
Yeah.
Paranoid. He's all erotic.
Yeah. He's very erotic.
I mean, I think there are certain people in the BB community that might be able to speak to that, unfortunately.
Yes, unfortunately is right.
There's someone in the house who might be able to speak to that, Mike.
That's very true, right. No, but don't worry. He doesn't go for those types of girls, Maggie. Don't you worry.
Yeah. So we went back and forth on Brent's pronunciation of erratic that he says.
Erotic.
Erotic.
But that's not like that's not from anywhere. That's not like any part of the country. Mm-hmm. No, that's not from any part of the country.
Yeah.
I think Brent might be a moron.
Yeah.
I think
Maggie, come on.
Are you sure you don't mean a moron?
I don't know.
You mean a macaroon?
Right. I mean, you know, first of all, where's Brent from? He's from like Connecticut, right? He's not from like Staten Island or anything, correct?
So he's Yeah, because he's living in Rhode Island right now. I believe he's from Rhode Island or like from New Jersey or something. But either way, or maybe at least Hannah's impression of him is very like coffee talk. like very Mike Myers, like, oh my God, I can't believe this. And it's like, that's not from any part of the country that's being talked about in this sequence.
I liked the energy. I don't know if she was nailing the impression.
She even said in the DR, she was like doing it. And then she was like, okay, my dialect is really bad. Sorry about that. And I also felt bad for Hannah that like, this is her segment that she gets on the show. Like, why does your segment have to be like Brent trying to terribly flirt with her?
Yeah.
Like, can't she get any segment where she's a flirt? Awesome?
He's a flirt.
It's giving me early Caleb vibes and I don't like it.
Oh, absolutely. Like, we are one pickle and a banana away from this becoming like a real dangerous situation.
Yeah. That's almost like a Frenchyism. Like, we're one pickle and a banana away from this becoming one dangerous situation. Yeah.
No one's going to expect it from me. I'm like a pickle and a banana peel.
Yeah. But for Brent, I mean, what is his accent? I mean, I think we have three people on the panel from the greater tri-state area. Have you ever heard anyone use the word erratic and say erotic?
I think it's just kind of general douchebaggery. I think that's kind of where the accent's coming from in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
It seems more so like he just mixed up the word.
I think he doesn't know the right word. Yeah.
I think it's less about his accent and more so about his dictionary.
Yeah.
I think it has to do with his IQ rather than his accent or where he's from.
Yeah. And so...
Unless is Brent trying to be subliminal here? Is he trying to like insert naughty words when he actually meant other things?
Yes.
Can you imagine
if they pick up on it?
Like a Freudian slip talking about his love of Frenchie. He's like, well, he's very erotic to me. I don't know.
Yeah. Be careful what you say around Frenchie. He gets upset sometimes. You know, he could be very sensual.
Yeah, exactly. I you know what, Hannah? I love hanging out with you. You know, I'm just feeling pretty rod. I mean, rad. I mean, so that's my accent, right? Date me. Please date me. Date me, Hannah. Date me.
Yeah. And if you're watching the show, it's like, oh, maybe this is going to be a showmance.
That's the issue, right? It's like they're trying to like push this out. But I feel like where's the Derek X and Hannah content? I want to see this more so than like one-sided, unrequited Brent dictionary love.
Yeah. I mean, it was weird that they tried to spin this in that direction. I mean, the erratic, and impressions of Brent was fine. But then I felt like that they took it in a direction of like that. It's like, hey, well, Brent is like what a ladies man. He's such a flirt.
I feel like there's like a discarded diary room where they asked Hannah like how she felt about Brent. She's like, that loser.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, and we'll notice the fact that Brent's DR is all about Hannah. Hannah, all she says about Brent is like pretending to do the accent, right? Like that's all you need to know as to how they feel about each other.
I was waiting for the DR from her because that would have been hilarious if Brent was like, you know, I'm just getting to know Hannah more and more, and she was like, oh God, he won't leave me alone. Like I think that's what makes you laugh, you know. But I guess not for the casual audience. They are really Team Brett or Brent on Brent.
Subliminal messaging. About Brett.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
I do think that Brett had a lot better jokes than anything that Brent is giving us on this season so far. But, you know.
Yeah. To be fair, Brett was not a flight attendant where they have to make him make. And that's the thing now. You're wondering, like, what's going to happen without Frenchie making all the references? Brent's going to get so much more airline terminology for all the stuff he's doing in the house.
Yeah, and we'll save some room for Derek F. Boxing diary rooms, which really were hit over the head like a battle with Smokin' Joe Frazier tonight with them.
Can we get him out in time for the Big Brother boxing?
Who do you want him to really face?
No, I want him in like a reclining settee on the ring as he like officiates, like, go. I just want him laying there the entire time.
Okay. Actually, I mean, Jason, Frenchie is going to be out in time. I mean, there is time to add Frenchie to the card.
Yeah. Get Devin in there. Get Frenchie in there. You know, battle of the crazy HOHs.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If Frenchie goes to that boxing match, which I do think there is a non-zero chance that he does that, Rob, I think you're on to something.
There is, what's the opposite of non-zero? There is a 100% chance that he's going to be there.
No, well, you know what's going to happen? He's going to book a bout for himself, and then he'll like step in the ring and be like, all right, I would ordinarily box tonight, but there's a spirit among here. There's been whispers going on that said I should not box. So today I'm not going to box. I'm so sorry. I'm a man of my word, but the spooks are getting to me. And so I got to get the hell out of Dodge.
Not the spooks.
Yeah. That for Frenchie, that we'll see what his next move is going to be. We'll wait with bated breath to see.
Is that a Brent?
I kind of just want Frenchie to commentate on the fight. I don't really know about I need him fighting. I would just like to hear like the Frenchie-isms during the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Frenchie could be talking about all the different things. Yes.
I'm just thinking, what if Frenchie fights Pop and Paul Jackson?
Yeah. I don't know if they're in the same weight class. That's the issue.
It doesn't need to be. No, we need categories.
Battle of the point. HOHs.
Yeah, I think we need like battle of the most manic HOHs. We need like battle of the worst moves ever, Marcellus versus Lawan. Like, I want the BB boxing match to now be completely restructured, having people face against each other. Because there's so many questions, right, in the Big Brother community of like, who's the best winner ever? Who weighed the worst move ever? Let's settle it in the boxing ring. I think that's the easiest way to do so.
Yeah. And if you don't know what we're talking about, there is an upcoming Big Brother US versus Big Brother Canada boxing pay-per-view event coming up in August that we'll see if they can get Frenchie involved sometime soon. All right. Frenchie is on the warpath before he even gets to the boxing ring. And first off, he's mad. He's gone through the five stages of grief. This is anger right now, where he's really worked up. The jocks have teamed up to take him down. Jason, you know how it was for Frenchie, all the jocks working against him in the house.
All those jocks that he hates, that when he, you know, lists off who's in the slaughterhouse, like every single jock. You know all those jocks I hate? I made alliance with them. I'm just letting y'all know.
Yeah.
But I hate them still. I want to get them out, but I made an alliance with them. But
yeah. So he's going to go around and he's going to blow up the slaughterhouse. Maggie, everybody must know about the slaughterhouse alliance that is taking down the house and Frenchie.
I just like truly don't understand what goes through Frenchie's head. Like, what? Even like,
all right, Frenchie, you must reveal your alliance now to everyone in the house.
Yes. Frenchie, remember the alliance you made? Yeah. Tell everybody about it.
Listen, I didn't name everybody in the alliance. I know two other people in the alliance, but I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah.
I promise I wouldn't tell. I'm not going to tell, but I know who they are.
Yeah.
Just know that I know, but I'm not going to tell you.
Frenchie is mad. This is how mad he is.
Oh, boy. My cheeks are getting redder than a turkey on Thanksgiving that's about to get his head chopped off.
Has this man ever seen a turkey in his life? Turkeys don't get embarrassed or blush.
I don't know. Is that what it, like? Are they getting bloody?
Your turkeys have like, cheeks,
but it's also about to get its head cut off, right? Like, I'm not sure what's going on here.
Let's see.
Oh boy, my cheeks are getting redder than a turkey on Thanksgiving that's about to get his head chopped off.
Maybe the turkey, like, he's grabbed the turkey by the neck. It's he's like, and he's holding it, and the blood is all racing to the turkey's head. That's why it's red.
Oh my gosh, Frenchie, how could you?
I think Frenchie's been watching too many Looney Tunes if he thinks that's the way you kill a turkey in 2021.
Do they eat turkeys in France?
I don't know. I don't think they have Thanksgiving.
Yeah, what do Americans do for Thanksgiving?
I'm not sure they celebrate Thanksgiving in France.
I mean, I've heard of choking the chicken, but choking the turkey, yeah. I don't know.
All right. Here's my question. Okay. What do you think goes on Frenchie's farm? Okay, we've seen this man's planning skills. Okay, we've seen how he works. What do you think life is like on Frenchie's farm?
I think it's like Pee Wee's Playhouse, quite honestly. I think there is garish furniture that talks. Exactly. There's a big, maybe it's Jambi that's giving him instructions.
Today's secret word is daggone.
I think he tells the pigs he's going to slaughter them one day, but then he switches it up the very next day, and he's like, I'm going to go with the cows instead. Surprise.
I think they're like, oh, crap, Frenchie's coming back after 2 weeks. Well, this is a nice vacation. Like, we lived without him in power for long.
Right. Like, Maggie, there's no way that this farm is run with efficiently, right?
I mean, literally any fact you told me about Frenchie, I would probably be like, okay, there's just, this man is a cartoon character to me. I just don't understand. Like, I'm curious as to if the farm is as well run as, like, I hearken back to 90 Day Fiance, like Brandon and Julia, like that farm. I feel like that farm is more better run than whatever Frenchie's doing.
Yes, I think that there might be some similarities between those two farms.
I feel like his farm is a bunch of like half abandoned tasks. Right, because that's the Frenchie attitude. Is like you go down one line in thinking, and then it completely changes. Like the crops are half watered, you know, like half the cows have had their stalls cleaned out. Like it just seems like everything's a little bit undone, and it's just absolute chaos.
Yeah, you know, you ask him about, he's like, "Don't worry about that. I got a plan for that. You don't worry about that. I got a strategy going in for that."
Yeah, or his wife is like, "Hey, you said you were going to feed the pigs," and he's like, "Ah." I would, but then you said it just now, so I feel like I can't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. And she's like, okay, well, I guess I'll go feed the pigs. He's like,
my plan worked.
I'm my honor as a farmer. I will not feed those pigs.
Yeah, we got a little sense of what a day in the life of Frenchie on the farm is like tonight also.
In my line of work, we wake our butts up when the rooster starts crowing in the morning. We put in work all day until the stars are out at night. So don't count me out just yet, America. I'm sowing the seeds of a comeback. And you know old Green Thumbs right here makes things happen. So, let's get to work.
There's so much going on here. Does he have crops? Does he have animals? Like, what is going on? Like, I feel like that his farm is like the way that if you had like a little kid talk about what does a farmer do, like this is what Frenchie's come up with.
So here's the thing then. I don't think he's a farmer, guys. I think this is France being like, you are a farmer now? Cause they farm things? He's like, oh, God damn it. I'm an accountant. And what the hell do I know about farms? Goats and chickens?
Since when is he old Green Thumbs?
Anyone like this? Old Green Thumbs.
Well, what's, you know, that's what they call him in the house, Rob. Yeah. Old Green Thumb.
Seeds, baby.
Yeah. He's just planting seeds. He's like, knows all about the livestock.
I don't know. Old Green Thumb sounds like a condition they got in like the Dust Bowl era. I don't want old Green Thumbs personally.
Old Green Thumbs. So my favorite part of all this is that, okay, so Frenchie is going to start blowing up the slaughterhouse and Derek F. is like, I'm just going to pretend I'm asleep. Then I can't be implicated. Just I don't like this. I'm sleeping.
He's just calling Big Day Bed because he the whole episode he's on that day bed, like either pretending to be asleep or quote unquote strategizing. That's where he was the whole episode. You saw him nowhere else.
Is that a spy shack? Is he like, if I just like lie on the furniture,
cover
for
me with blankets, please?
No one will notice I'm here, and so people will just talk in the room like I'm not here.
Day bed for it.
Now, we can try, but perhaps the best Frenchie impression is owned by Tiffany, who does the Frenchie impressions, talking about him blowing up the alliance that he created.
Yeah, I mean, Tiffany is a star in so many ways. Mm-hmm. I think she is, in my opinion, the star of the season so far. I'm so happy that, you know, I think some strategic players are not necessarily dynamos in the diary room. Mm-hmm. I think Grace, like your Dan Gieslings and your Derricks, were not necessarily the biggest. I mean, Dan had a voice that could put Frenchies to shame in terms of volume in the diary room. But like Tiffany has it all, man. Like she's got this house wrapped around her finger. She's got impressions for days. She doesn't even have to do accent workshop with Brent. She's amazing. I love her so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, she's been dynamo so far this season, and looking forward to seeing, you know, does she have any more material after there's no more Frenchie? That's going to be the big question for all of us, I think.
I'm wondering, do I have any more material once there's no more Frenchie? Like, am I about to become really boring?
I don't even know what this show is after tomorrow.
I don't
know. Honestly.
I'm happy about it, personally. I think it's been fun. Oh. But Frenchie's like a human slip and slide. Like, you go down him a couple times, Brent.
Whoa.
And you're like, oh, this is great. Like, I don't know where I'm going. I have no control. This is a great old fun time. And then you keep going, you're like, all right, it's getting a little more tiring. I think I have whiplash. I'm a little tired of like letting go of all this control at this point. And I think
getting a little dried out.
Yeah,
exactly. Like, yeah. I think at this point we got to turn the hose off.
Erotic.
Yeah.
Some rocks on those going down those slip and slide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think we're all ready to move on. What I'm saying is I literally don't know what this show turns into after Frenchie is gone.
I kind of would have liked to get all kind of stages of him before he went. Like, I would have liked to see him not in any sort of power next week and just see how bad he can tank his and everyone else's game further.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I'm fine with him going this week for sure.
All right. So we got a birthday celebration, Maggie. It was Alyssa's birthday. Christian Xavier pull her in, and then they're going to, as people often do on a birthday, wrap her up like a mummy with all the toilet paper.
Well, yeah, that's what I turned 26 this weekend, and that's what my mom did. She came into town and was like, here's your birthday cake. Now time for me to wrap you up like a mummy in toilet paper.
Isn't this a
sign? And then have a very serious conversation with you.
Yeah.
Isn't this a sign that nature is healing? I feel like a year ago, people would be like, what an abundant waste of toilet paper. But now we're like, let it flow. Yeah. We're all good.
Whee!
Yeah. Also, poor Alyssa, like, she literally has to have this, like, she knew too, she was like, they're gonna show that on television with me wrapped in toilet paper. Also, like, how, Kylan, how dare you? You know what's going on in there. You're gonna go trap her while she's literally like cannot move and has toilet paper hanging off her head and be like, so the veto.
Kai wasn't being such a nice guy. He made her stand there with toilet paper
like a mummy. Kai the guy meets the mummy was a very fun situation.
But Kai the guy talks to Alyssa covered in two ply.
Yeah, exactly. I love, though, Maggie, to your point, I love Alyssa's final line. I feel like she might be one of the most meta house guests I think we've ever had. I can't remember. On the Sunday episode, was she the one who sang the HOH music? I don't remember, but it feels like she really is like the Abed of Big Brother, where she's like immediately saying like, oh, this will be in this show. Oh, I know what this music is. Oh, yeah, here comes that clip.
Well, she's a huge fan. Yeah. And I think that people actually are like underrating her a little bit, and they don't realize how, like, even fans like don't realize how dangerous she could be. Like, if she like is cut loose a little bit from sort of the bounds that she's in right now in the house, I think that she could do some real damage. And
she asked a very good question also before getting wrapped up in the toilet paper.
What if we have to poop?
Yeah, think about it. It's like, Alyssa, we need you in here. All right, let's get to the competition for tonight and answer the age-old question of
get ready for the veto. Get ready for the veto.
All right. We draw our players. It's going to be Kylan picking Alyssa. Frenchie's going to pick Claire. Brittany is going to pick Derek X. And so we have, is this, another original competition? Oh, we've lost Mike Bloom momentarily.
Got mad and left.
Yeah.
I think so.
Maggie, have we seen this competition before ever on Big Brother?
Not that I can remember. I mean, I'm not the B&B historian that Mike is, but I don't remember. Obviously, we've done like various versions of this, like transfer the liquid into the, you know, that's a Big Brother staple. Mm-hmm. But and they loved poor Brittany falling. They showed her fall like four separate times and different varying versions of slow-mo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, they I don't think that this particular competition has ever been done.
I liked, you know, Brittany got things going and she read the rules to us. And then she gave us the rhetorical question of who's ready to play fun tan lotion? Brittany is.
Heck yeah, man. Ooh, okay, cool.
I love her spirit.
I love her excitement about everything, including like getting nominated. Like, I just love her like for veracity and excitement about every single thing.
Yeah.
I think Brittany's giving exactly what you want out of somebody who's on television.
Yeah.
You know, like the worst is when someone is like, has no personality and is like, yeah, let's play, which we've seen that many a time on Big Brother. Mm-hmm. I would much rather watch the version where Brittany's in that pink hat in the DR screaming about how she's going to win the veto rather than someone
yeah,
who's
man.
Like,
oh, ooh, okay, cool.
So many different responses to are you ready to play Funtan Lotion?
Well, I saw the suntan lotion. I was like, oh no, not BB Big Squirt. I was like, oh my goodness.
Sorry, I was just getting oiled up. Are we talking about Funtan Lotion?
Heck yeah, man. Ooh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Jason, wait, what did you say? It was called what?
It was BB Big Squirt.
That was the name of one of the brands.
Brett name the competitions now? Is he the new, like,
yeah. Yeah. So Brittany was up first and she was running around, I guess, seemingly she did okay. She notices that there was a rhythm to it. Kylan didn't really get into the pattern. Kylan was more about the rebound. We got a segment which I thought seemed somewhat
erotic
with Kylan. here's Kylan talking about how he was going to use his body to collect the rebounding water.
I can actually use my body as a backboard to channel more of the large thick streams.
The large thick streams.
Those thick streams, baby.
Brent is like, why did I not compete in this?
Yeah.
Large thick streams are my thing. It's my middle name.
I have a problem with this. I have a problem with this because that is like unfair for the women who are competing because no woman is like that strategy. It depends on you having a completely flat chest, like a backboard on a basketball court. And none of these women have the ability to do that. There's like other areas and crevices that would go, you know?
But
so
it wasn't the winning strategy. Yeah.
Exactly. That's the thing. Fair backboard.
It wasn't like he hacked the competition.
It was the winning strategy in Brent's heart, I'm sure.
What I will say, though, actually, something I really appreciated about, I want to give major ups to all the competitions this season, because I actually think that what's really great about each and every one of them is like there's a simple idea, but there's an added wrinkle upon it. Like the first, like the captain's challenge was, OK, you have to build a puzzle, but it's on top of a platform. You know, you have the veto is like, OK, you have to figure out this puzzle. But also there's elements where you can look at everyone else. This was, okay, it's sort of like a pseudo slip and slide comp, but also there's an order to where everything fires off. So you have to figure out to get yourself in front of those thick, juicy streams, you know, as quickly as possible.
Erotic.
So I like the fact that there is an ability to like add strategy onto each and every comp. We have yet to do really any sort of like brute force. You have to use your head in all of these, which makes me very happy because I think, you know, again, they talk a lot in interviews with myself included about how new era for Big Brother, we're trying to stymie a lot of the problems that exist in the franchise. But this is a little bit of putting their money where their mouth is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was definitely interesting to see that there was a pattern. It wasn't just like it was just spraying around randomly. I was really expecting Derek X to like hack the competition like he did last week, Jason, with the Power of Veto competition. Like, it didn't even seem like that Derek X did anything that was like that notable in terms of to winning the competition based on what we saw.
Yeah, I mean, the whole competition itself kind of became like a Captain Obvious. Like, they were like in the diary room talking about, well, if I just stay here and I know there's a predetermined, like, you know, thing to it, I'll just stay here, get my stuff and move it. It was just kind of, you know, I think he kind of did hack it a little bit. I just don't think they gave him a lot of the props for it. I'm not sure if it was him that said, you know, I'm just going to stand here where I know it's going to go and I'll just collect it.
Yeah. I mean, it turned out to be actually very close that ultimately beat out Kylan by only like 15 seconds. And then Frenchie was another 12 seconds after that. So it actually was a pretty competitive competition. So it wasn't like that there was one strategy that was particularly dominant. Let's talk about Frenchie, who made a valiant effort, even though he struggled at first.
This competition is more slippery than a greased hog at the state fair.
Well, why do they grease a hog at the state fair?
That's
you have to catch it.
Yeah, you gotta catch it.
Oh, that's the thing?
It's the thing. It's like, yeah, they grease up the hogs and they like number them and you have to like catch the hog and bring it back.
I had no idea.
I've seen that in a movie.
Yeah.
That was in a movie one.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I was collecting.
Frenchie saw the same movie. Cricket. Yeah.
Like, I'm collecting Twitter followers because I got a jock out the first week.
Mm hmm.
Exactly. I'm catching more oil than Lex on all my posts when I get evicted.
I'm slipping and sliding worse than I am in the reality stock watch.
See, these are all cut. Assuming it's like, Frenchie, this is a little too meta. Okay, you're not Alyssa. You can't talk about this stuff. But yeah, I mean, this is so emblematic of why Frenchie will get evicted this week, because this man is always doing way too damn much, right? Like, he's doing it like he's like the third base coachman is like waving him forward each and every time. He's making so many unnecessary slides.
Yes, you're right, Mike, that this was a great metaphor for Frenchie's actual gameplay of like, there's a thing over there, and he's going to try to run around to as many different places as possible with his bucket and ultimately come up short. I did think, though, that he did have a good observation that he seemed to be the only person to notice that the SPF number correlated to how much water was going to come out of the suntan lotion sprayer. So, as Asa said, even the broken clock, right twice a day.
Was that true, though? Like, we didn't get it verified by anybody.
I don't think they would have shown it.
And it was just left. He said it, and then nothing else came of it.
Like, yeah.
It was weird.
Also, Rob, by the way, that DR, that very funny Asa DR, she felt really bad about that later in the house. She was like, I shouldn't have said that.
Yes. No.
Girl, yes, you should have.
It made the show.
Very funny.
It made the show. Okay. Ultimately, Derek X won the Power of Veto, and now Frenchie is ready to give up, ready to surrender.
But I thought that he never quit anything a day in his life, Rob.
No.
Well, this was classic Frenchie, like, martyr. Like, I'm just so daggum tired and I just can't do it anymore. Someone please tell me not to quit so I can, you know, not quit, please.
Yeah. Like, so this was the moment that I was like, all right, he can go. Because I think that they're, again, like, I'm team chaos. I'm team fun feeds. I'm totally fine with that. But like, this was the moment where it's like, okay, is Frenchie really going to be that fan who like gets mad that he lost the kickball games? He's going to deflate the ball and go home. Like, is that really who Frenchie is? And that was who he was. I think that, you know,
he is who he thought he was.
And so from that perspective, like, we've seen him on top. We've seen him on the bottom. We've seen everything we need to see of Frenchie. I don't need to see any more.
Yeah. He's going to get pep talk from Derek F., who talks to him about, like, hey, you can't give up. Get back in the ring. That he's basically just trying to get him, gas him up for one last go round. Go talk to the HOH.
Great wisdom from his big throne of his day bed.
Yeah. All right.
So I noticed it was like, what, 8:53 when he was giving this pep talk, I was like, this is going to go nowhere. Because it was like, he's giving this pep talk. I'm like, we're going to come back to a veto meeting. It's going to like just totally dash his hopes here.
Yeah. He makes one last pitch to Kylan and Derek X and says, hey, I'll be a shield for you, that they're never going to come for you while I'm around. They don't bite.
Yeah. I mean, there was a foregone conclusion, right? Like, not only is the time a ticking, but also like Frenchie doesn't suggest, or we don't see on the show, who to put up. Again, I think we know from the feed stuff that he was trying to backdoor Brent or Christian, but we don't even see that plan play out. So even the show's like, yada yada, it doesn't work. Let's go to the veto ceremony.
Derek X will not use the power veto, and we are locked in with Brittany and Frenchie on the block for Thursday night. Maggie, what do you think we're gonna see on the episode tomorrow night?
I hope we get one last Frenchie big ol' hurrah.
Yeah.
I hope that we get a nice sequence of Frenchie being Frenchie and the house guests being like, huh?
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that there's going to be some stuff about like plans for next week that we can get into after the spoiler section. Yeah. And I think that there will probably be a bit of like prep for that. Just, mm-hmm. you know, and we might get a couple showmat segments, because there's some of that going on too that we'll talk about, you know.
But. Okay. Well, we'll talk about it. Frenchie seems to be mounting some sort of plan, and I would imagine they take the dregs of that and cobble it into some sort of edit. But I would not be surprised if we get an eviction at like 8:25 or something tomorrow, you know, and then have an extended interview with Julie and then have the next HOH comp.
Okay.
I can't imagine that every single like minute won't be like a bye Frenchie party, since this is going to be the last time we see him. Like, I feel like it's going to be every single Frenchieism that they could ever throw into a show.
Right. Maybe we'll get some best of segments from even the first week that we missed. Yeah. So
they're going to have like Frenchie's going to walk out, and then it's going to immediately turn into a recap episode. Like, hey, remember that time that Frenchie went around the rooms and snooped on us talking?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you guys think that Julie's going to show him the clip of him winning the safety? Like, I could see her being like, Frenchie, let's take a look.
You could have had 2 weeks of safety. Do you regret it?
He's definitely going to brag.
Like, no, not for one daggone minute. I can't regret anything, because does a potbelly pig regret rolling in the mud after the third day of January?
Yes, it's very cold outside. Mm-hmm. Don't cover yourself in mud, pig.
Mm-hmm. No regrets.
That's how they should keep warm.
Yeah. Frenchie does not look back. Only forward for Frenchie. So,
and even so, you look forward with like extreme blinders on and glasses that are not your prescription, so everything looks blurry to you.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else about tonight's episode before we get to some questions?
No, let's do it.
All right, let's take some questions here from our listeners. Okay, and here we go. Mason says, we're seeing Brittany's intensity ramp up all the way after being nominated. Do you think that intensity will be polarizing within the house, or make her an easy nom moving forward, or will people feel her wrath? Maggie, you have any thoughts on Brittany moving forward?
Yeah, I think that when you really need to worry about like someone's wrath is when they are not the one overreacting and it's everyone in the house overreacting. Like, you know, when Tyler was put up by the hacker and like other people were crying, like that's when you're like, oh, maybe this person could do some damage to me. But like, notice that Brittany was like very intense and most people were like, they're there. It's okay. Like, I think that perhaps she doesn't have as much agency to make people feel her wrath. Like, she's not well connected enough. But I think it will make her an easier target moving forward.
I think you need to have power to also exert that wrath. You know, and I think that's the issue.
Exactly.
Like, the reason why she got nominated, it wasn't really brought up on the show, but I feel like the reason why Kai the Guy nominated her, said bye-bye, was that she had no connections with her. She wasn't involved in any of his alliances. So, like, unless she has the strategic prowess to be able to, like, get into a position of power to get in someone's ear and be like, hey, you should put up Kylan, then he might be feeling it. But, this was Kylan essentially, like, cleaning his hands. well, it doesn't earn well for Britney and maybe Azza. Everyone else is like, that's fine. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's okay. I'm good with that because we like Kylan. So, like, he didn't put me up. I'm totally happy with it.
All right, let's take a question. This is from Laura. Should they cut the veto draw as a segment on the show? Jason, would you prefer to not get the veto draw?
No, I think leave it in there. I like it. It gives a little insight on some people's strategy and who they want to get picked and who they don't. I think leave it in there. I would like to get the veto, like the speeches back in there. I kind of would like to see Frenchie's reasoning why, or he probably would have said to not use it on him and use it on Britney or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I would still like to see to have seen that speech from Frenchie.
Yeah, that was the weird thing was, again, Frenchie has this whole, like, I got a master plan and involves using the veto on Britney. I heard this guy, Jed from Canada, did this same thing and it worked out well for him. But then when he gets to the confessional, right, of like, I want it to be Derek or Azza because they'll remove me from the block. He's like, well, bro, where did that plan go, Frenchie?
Right. Let's take a question from Lauren, who says, was it actually a good idea for Derek X to win this veto? Maggie, what do you think?
I think sure. You know, I do think that, you know, you don't want to win too much at the beginning to put a huge target on yourself, especially win unnecessarily. But I think for Derek X, he was in such a position where he had absolutely no power or agency in the game that with power means people are coming to you. When it shows that you can win competitions, people are more willing to rely on you. So I think maybe for someone like Claire to win, it wouldn't have been as good of an idea. But for someone like Derek X, like, it's fine.
Yeah. I think especially on a week where, you know, it was a foregone conclusion. No one's going to be begging you to use it any type of way except for the nominees. Like, everyone kind of knows what the plan is. So it's not really going to, he's not going to get a lot of blood on his hands by not using the veto.
I also think this is a really tough competition to throw. Like, the individual time competitions, it is the ideal competition you want to throw, right, is the one where you can see how everyone is doing. So that, like, if certain people are doing better than others, then you kick it into high gear or you sort of lay back into the backbeat a little bit. But because it was an individual thing, like, I mean, even Claire talked about how I don't want to win, but I can't, like, pull a Parhar and take a nap in the middle of the oil laden field because then everyone will think I threw it. So, like, yeah. When you don't know anyone else's time, all you can kind of do is just do your damnedest. And if you end up with the veto, then you cross that bridge.
Yeah. And then if you end up with one of those times like Claire, 37:29, everybody's like, really, like, looks at you like side eye. I was like, no, I really stunk at it. I really didn't know what I was doing. This was hard. So it's a fine line to walk. All right.
Was anybody surprised that Frenchie wasn't waiting for Derek X in his bed to kind of whisper sweet nothings into his ear again about using the veto?
But also, like, this is the week to do that. I don't understand. Like, why, when it doesn't matter to you last week? Again, this is just Frenchie logic. Like, okay.
That's the problem. Like, he had that bag of tricks, right? But, like, he already used that one up. So he's like, oh, crap. I can't seduce Derek X in his bed until the sweet hours of the morning whispering in his ear. What do I do now?
Erotic.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about some live feed spoilers. If you're going to be jumping out, we'll be back on Thursday night. But Maggie, people could stick around, right? Like,
they should.
I mean,
this is the fun stuff. Yeah. What are you guys doing? Come on.
Well, what else are you doing? Come on. But before we get to the Big Brother spoilers, I want to take a moment to thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at BetterHelp Online Therapy. Rob's podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. As we begin to see light at the end of the COVID tunnel, hopefully, a lot of people are still feeling down and emotionally out of sorts. And you might not feel depressed or at a total loss, but if you're starting to feel a little bit off or your relationships are suffering, that could be a sign that you should talk to somebody, whether you're feeling anxious or you're struggling in your career, if you're having trouble sleeping. Online therapy can help. Visit betterhelp.com/RJP and fill out a questionnaire to help BetterHelp assess your needs and match you with a professional licensed therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours via secure weekly video, phone, or even live chat sessions with your therapist. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great matches, so it's easy and free to change counselors if you need a better fit. Online therapy is convenient and more affordable than in-person therapy, and our listeners get 10% off their first month of online therapy at betterhelp.com/RJP. That's betterhelp.com/RHAP. Let's talk spoilers.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler.
Warning.
A spoiler.
Warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Yeah. Mike, I don't know what's going on tonight.
I'm rubbing suntan lotion on myself.
A side of you that we've never seen before.
Erotic.
I don't know if I missed this when I was out oiling myself up. Was that? Do you think that was really oil? That
no,
was just water, right?
No, I was watching it with Dominic, and that I was saying like he was like, "Dad, what do you think that is?" I'm like, "I don't know. It might be oil. It might be water." And then I think Brittany at one point said something about it was the water, and so he's like, "Dad, oh, she said it was water."
Yeah, I think that's the problem is that like they were really, I feel like they were really trying to build like, oh yeah, it's the oil. But I think to your point, like Brittany, they're like, no, we let one slip through, you know, the guys is down. Our fantasy of it just wasting so much suntan oil is gone.
Derek X called it the oil. So he was kayfabe on that. He was keeping the production secret, but Brittany called it water. Okay. All right. Maggie, what's the latest?
So on the live feeds, French is dead in the water, right? Like there's no way. I mean, there's a chance he can get one vote with Derek Big D. Like Big D might throw him, you know, a pity vote, but I think that it's honestly might be unanimous tomorrow night. But since what we didn't see on the episode tonight is that Alyssa and Christian have gotten very close. They've been showmancing it up. There's a lot of two people lying in spaces meant for one person.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've been having a showmance and the target has really been put on Brent and Whitney. Like everybody is gunning hard for Brent and Whitney this week. There's been an alliance that has formed between the Kings and the Queens plus Derek X. So they're trying to get Derek X to throw the HOH competition so that Brent is not automatically safe. And the goal is to put Brent and Whitney up next to each other next week.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe Brent's team actually had a meeting together where they're like, we're going to throw this competition without Brent around. And the fun slash sad thing slash erotic thing about all this is Brent has no idea that he is going up in the block. In fact, Brent has had a gay old time the past couple days.
Digging
a nice old hole for himself by making all of these manic plans about how a female has to be going next week.
Mm-hmm. Don't say female, Mike. It like makes my ears bleed when people like him and Frenchie both, instead of just using like the term woman, like have to say female. It just, I don't know what it is. It just makes me cringe. Mm-hmm. These guys being like females must leave the house.
So,
okay,
let me just ask a question for the, you know, Derek X, Hannah, Whitney side of things, who will potentially throw the veto tomorrow night so Brent could go home. That what if they don't? Like, is this necessarily like, maybe I get it for Derek X or Hannah, but for Whitney, like, why can't they just vote out Brent next week? Like, is that a smart move for her to potentially throw the HOH?
No, it's not, because she doesn't realize at this point that she's going up next to Brent. Like, so Brent's in the dark about being targeted, but Whitney is also in the dark about the fact that she would be put up next to him because Whitney doesn't really like Brent. She's very annoyed by the fact that he's saying he's going to target the women. She doesn't see the connection that people are making with him because she doesn't feel the connection. But if, you know, something goes wrong and someone on their team wins, I think that we're looking at people from the Jokers going up. So again, like a Brittany, a Big D, an Azza, you know, it depends on who wins, but if Brent wins, he's for sure going after Brittany and Azza because he and Azza had a conversation earlier today, where he said the term floater and Azza corrected him and was like, well, actually, you know, what you mean is coaster rather than floater. And he was very insulted by that and, you know, was like,
this
well, that's
her
game. This
is the same man who says the word erratic as
erotic.
Yeah.
But when I do it, it's cute.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Jason, do you feel like that we're walking into a situation where enough people are throwing the HOH competition tomorrow night that it is certainly going to be a Brent HOH?
Yeah, I was thinking about it, like, you know, hearing about all these people throwing the HOH. And like, is it going to be a fight about who's going to like accidentally win this HOH? Mm-hmm. But I feel like, you know, Brent will definitely go for it and they'll all look kind of stupid because Brent will get it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, let's remember that in another universe and maybe a Big Brother 22-esque universe, we are looking at a Brent HOH in week two. So he's not exactly a slacker, depending on the types of challenges. So, you know, I think it, like I spoke about before with the time competition, it seems like what a lot of people are doing is like hanging back and waiting for other people. Like, you know, they're like, oh, okay, if Tiffany is doing good, then I'll hang back. If she's not, then maybe I'll push out front. So mm-hmm. I don't think we're necessarily going to be in a situation where Luigi wins by doing absolutely nothing. I think this could be just a moment of like, there are some people that are throwing it, yes, but I do think there's a good contingency of especially the women in the house who are really gunning for it, looking to mm-hmm. put up Brent in particular.
Mike, what do you suspect the third HOH competition is going to be?
So we had the crapshoot last week. I think we got to do a Q&A. I feel like it's been mm-hmm. We haven't had a Q&A comp yet. I guess you could say like the one that Sarah Beth won was more of that memory comp, less so a Q&A one. So I'd have to imagine we're bringing out those booths, right? That's a good one to do for like the 12, 13 people competing.
Like, I feel like that we're heading into like the like sexy Uncle Vito / watch this iPhone commercial of like, it's like, I feel like that's like a good like third week HOH competition is.
Edie Johnson!
Yeah, we're going to watch a video and then answer questions about the crazy video.
How bad is Julie going to short circuit if everyone throws the first question and everyone gets the question wrong?
Technical difficulties. We're going to take a break here and come right back to do it again. No, I could imagine. Yeah, I think it could be. You know what it's going to be? Is remember in the second HOH competition in Big Brother All-Stars, where they're like, ask Allison. They're going to keep Frenchie around and be like, okay, Frenchie, tell a story. And then you're going to do a memory competition based on that story about Frenchie's farm.
I mean, that's basically been the first 2 weeks of Big Brother.
Exactly. So it's like, how well do you know Frenchie? How well can you? So in that case, maybe Brent actually is the shoo-in to win here.
Yeah. What do you think Julie's attitude is going to be towards Frenchie? Do you think that that she will really drag him? Do you think that she will be sort of like, you know, like, oh, Frenchie, what a like you gave us so much material here in these first 2 weeks?
I think that she's going to be like, you had the safety. What mm-hmm. were you thinking? Like, I think she'll lean into the like, you big dope. Why didn't you play along with our silly
offer.
Games?
That was too good to be true.
Exactly. You could have won the silly prize and you wouldn't be with me. Yeah. You know?
Julie's going to roast me like a fat bellied crow over a campfire.
Jason, what do you think goodbyes from the house are going to be like? Do you think that we're going to get like people like, oh, Frenchie was great. Or we're going to get a lot of like, forget you, go home, goodbye.
I think it's going to be a lot of forget you, go home, goodbye. It's going to be Brent, you know, arrivederci, Frenchie. Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone's going to be, you know, and he's singing these sad songs.
Derek Frazier is going to be weeping in the diary.
Yes, he'll be last.
5 minute goodbye.
He'll be last.
5 minute goodbye right there.
Yeah. Maggie, who's going to give the most scathing goodbye to Frenchie in the goodbye videos?
Gotta be my girl Tiff.
Tiffany.
Come on.
How has he not revealed that Tiffany was the other hinky vote this week?
He promised.
I'm a man.
I mean, that's actually incredible. I mean, I do think that Tiffany played like a little bit of a dangerous game this week. That yeah, like the man has spilled every other secret he's had in the house, and for some reason, and maybe give credit to Tiffany that she's been able to keep the relationship with him. That he hasn't felt like scorched earth enough to tell everybody that she was the other hinky vote and lying to people about it this week, but somehow. He's done it.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I think Tiffany kind of scared him a little bit with the conversation she gave him when he was like bragging about about how he knew who it was. She's like, oh, really? Mm-hmm. I'd be scared if Tiffany was coming at me like that.
I do think that Frenchie does have that like parental respect as well, right? That he like formerly had for Whitney a little bit. But I think, you know, he has that certain like, you know, we've gone through things that people don't know these kids haven't gone through before. And so I do think like he saw on a similar eye level with Tiffany, and that did really well for Tiffany. Cause yeah, I mean, listen, there's still a little less than 24 hours left. Frenchie could pull a Travis and start to like blow up people's games an hour beforehand. The problem with that is that Frenchie has proven himself to be so erotic slash erratic that there's a good chance people might be like, he's probably lying. Why would he bring it up right before he leaves? The only instance that we saw here was Kyland just being like, it might have been Tiffany and I don't know how I feel about that. So I do agree it was a dangerous thing to do for this particular instance. But I do think on the large, given like she was appeasing the HOH, and if there was a chance that the Slaughterhouse won, even though the Slaughterhouse did kind of win this week's HOH, but like if the majority within Frenchie won it, he would be able to stick up for her because she was able to follow his directions.
Okay, let me ask you this question, because I don't know if we've really had this before in Big Brother or had to talk about this. Okay, what do you think will happen if, in Julie's exclusive interview with Frenchie, Frenchie is stating falsehoods? That do you think, does Julie, does Julie know know that he's telling a falsehood in his interview with him? Like, do you think that she'll call him out if that he's saying things that are like patently untrue?
Are you asking if she's going to say he's delivering false facts?
Yes. Is it possible that she calls him out and says to him, sir, you are telling us a little bit of the
fake news?
But I mean, isn't that interesting? Like that he is it his interpretation of the events, or is he lying?
I think it'll depend on what it is, you know, like, because if it's something that she can be like, no, we watched the tapes, that's not what happened. Yeah. I think if it was something on the episode that he's lying about, she would, I think, call him out. But if it's like some niche live feed thing, she might be like, that's interesting insight. You know, she won't know.
Yeah.
I think at the very least, she's going to call him out about the not putting up women or minorities thing. I think we'll definitely get that.
Well, yeah. The people of color promise wasn't in the episode. So I feel like that in the Julie book, I feel like it's not going to come up in the interview if it wasn't in the episode.
So I don't know, because this is a completely different kettle of fish. But I feel like when the Jack Jackson stuff happened, like Julie had exact quotes that we didn't see on the show.
That is true.
I would not be surprised if it's in a very different situation, but I could very easily imagine that like producers feed Julie, you know, like a couple of note cards of things. He says like, let me read to you a couple of things that you told people in the house and see if you still stand by those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think he'll say like, absolutely, I stand by those things. I sent a meathead jock out of this game because I think he'll get up on his like high horse. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I sent a meathead out and he was only my fourth choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I eventually got there. So tune in on Thursday night.
Is Frenchie toast?
We'll find out when we are live on Thursday. Anything else from Big Brother Wednesday?
No, I mean, we were talking about this before we came on, that I feel like the Wednesday shows are always so interesting because the Sunday nights have the competition and the nominations and maybe the HOH, and the Thursday you have to pack in the eviction and HOH as well. So like the Wednesday episode is always a little bit of an odd, where do we fit certain things in type of show. So I think if you're looking for more superfluous, sloppy type of segments in Big Brother, look to the Wednesday show, and I feel like this was no different. And I think it was a sloppy show to send off a sloppy person in Frenchie.
Okay.
I think Sam did a good job booking the show with this crew for this episode. I think that we milked the sloppiness for all we could.
What's the over under of the out of context tweets for this podcast alone?
Let's set it at 30. Hi. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Hope nobody gifts my spoiler dates.
Oh boy. You've manifested it, Mike.
Yeah, it's happening.
Right. No, my son's banned from accessing the internet ever in his life now.
Okay. Smart. All right. Let's talk about what's coming up. Tomorrow night, check this out, for the Frenchie eviction party. Jerpt is gonna be back together when Taryn, Puya, and Jenny Autumn join us on Thursday night live after the eviction. Okay, so we'll see. No blanketing tomorrow night for the Frenchie Eviction Party. That's going to start off at 9:15 p.m. Eastern, barring some unforeseen circumstances. Maggie, what are the chances that Frenchie stays?
I mean, like 0.00001.
Yeah.
Like, there's always a chance that something happens at the very last minute, but they are so deep in the weeds about talking about targets for next week that I think that they are acting like Frenchie's not even here anymore. Like mm-hmm. they are so focused mm-hmm. on what they're doing next. It's just like a bygone conclusion at this point.
Okay.
I do like that Taryn's coming back, albeit with a new desk, because I feel like the Frenchie journey on the show very much mirrors Taryn's moving experience.
Yeah.
Where like mm-hmm. it's not going the way he wants to. Everything's are changing on the minute. Things are not falling into place whatsoever. The order is all askew. Finally, there seems to be some sort of sense being assembled in this moment. Things are far from perfect right now, but hopefully, you know, there's no version of, you know, Frenchie having to cover a morning update and, you know, stand up and steal his shorts a la Jacob Jones by the end of this.
Can you imagine?
All this stuff, you know, and like tell him they're going to get to him in 2 weeks and he never gets his stuff back.
Wait, so Mike, let me just follow the scenario. So there's one day that Taryn can't make it to the live feed update. And so, all right, like, who's our fallback? Do we have Frenchie's number? Hello, everybody. Good morning.
More, welcome to the dadgum live feed updates for this day, day 10.
I'm going to give it to you straight. Yeah.
Now, here's the way I see it. So Azza comes flying in on a unicorn, and she woke up this morning and talked to Derek X. And like, I just want to hear Frenchie's live feed update of how he views everything, because it's going to be so out of the blue nowhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Rob, I'm honestly very surprised that as Taryn's father, you have not done more to help the with the move. I'm shocked that as his father, you're not trying to
such a good
get
point.
His desk for him.
Such a good point. Mm-hmm. You know, I told him that nobody bought me a desk, so mm-hmm. that he's got a that like, he has an allowance. That if he wants a desk, that he can use his allowance to get one.
Wow.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Real like a motivational speech evocative of Derek F right there.
Yeah.
Like, he's Taryn. You can
look,
do this.
That he could have stayed, that he decided to move out on his own to San Diego. And you know, that's what he's got to do. Okay. All right. Speaking of Taryn, that on Tuesday night got together with Asia Welch and Chantel Francis for the weekly Big Brother Roundtable. Talk about the stock prices and the state of the house this week. Check that out in your podcast feed if you want to be playing in the Reality Stock Watch on Monday night. Oh, we had a visit from Frail Frenchie on Monday night on this week's edition of The Slop.
So good.
Had a lot of fun. Kirsten McInnes was my co-host for The Slop this week, talking about all of the nonsense on the week of Big Brother. You can check that out in our Patreon podcast feed. And then also on Friday, I will be live with Taryn Armstrong on Friday afternoon, sometime when the feeds go down, to talk about what the next HOH has up his or her sleeve. You can call in and ask us your questions live every Friday on the BBQ&A call-in show with myself and Taryn. Okay, last night, we spent a daggone long time talking about one of my favorite seasons of Survivor, Survivor Philippines, the 11th best season of Survivor. Brian Cohen, Ari Ferrari joined us for that discussion as we closed out the 75% of the way to the top 40 countdown of the greatest Survivor seasons of all time. That was the 11th place. We also talked with Michaela Bradshaw this past week. Very fun interview on the latest Talking with T-Bird. Of course, also then, Jason, you and I and Chappelle talked about Joe Millionaire.
What a fun conversation about a schlub who they try to pass off as a millionaire.
Maggie, were you there for Joe Millionaire?
So I thought Joe Schmo Show was Joe Millionaire.
No, it's Joe Lie. Yes.
It is Joe Lie.
In my head, like when Melissa was like, oh my gosh, Joe Schmo Show is so good, I was like, oh, is that the one where they like make the women pretend, like think that he's a millionaire and then he reveals it at the end and you see if it's true love? So I do know about this one. more than I did about Joe Schmo, but I don't really remember. My memory of these shows, most of the shows on the Rewind, are from like the VH1 series of like the best reality TV moments ever.
Yes.
That's my understanding of Joe Millionaire.
We had a lot of fun. We talked through one of the later episodes, the final three episode of Joe Millionaire. Had a lot of fun. This was great. We had a clip of this was the moment that Joe Millionaire, the construction worker, revealed the truth that he was not who he said he was.
Sorry. Wow.
Okay. Joe, you could have like let them down a little easier than that.
Wait, was that Gilbert Gottfried? Can you play it again? It sounds a lot like Gilbert Gottfried.
Sorry. Wow.
It just sounds a lot like Gilbert Gottfried.
It's Iago from Aladdin.
Sorry, Jafar.
Heck yeah, man. Ooh, okay, cool.
Yeah. Okay. All right. This is dropping tonight on a non-canonical episode of Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast. Shannon Gus joins myself and Uncle Kiwi to talk about Space Jam, A New Legacy, a movie that is being treated harshly by critics. Come on.
Yeah.
This was a great movie. Maligned. Right. Unfairly maligned movie. Okay. Sam Moore saying it's out. It's out now. Also, I got the chance to speak with Shannon Gus about Australian Survivor's first week, which I thought was spectacular. I loved the first week of Australian Survivor. Check that out. We dropped that in our Survivor podcast feed earlier today. Check out myself and Shannon Gus talking about week one of Australian Survivor, which just came back. This Sunday, I'll be doing a special orientation with our brand new patrons, of course. Even if you are not new to the patron program in the month of July, you can still join us. I'll be walking you through how to access all of the patron benefits, including our patron podcast feed and much more, how to access the Facebook group, the Discord, or any other issues that you may have with accessing your patron benefits. Then we'll do some Q&A, a little meet and greet if you want to say hello. Come join us. That's going to be on Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. That link is up on Patreon at robhasawebsite.com/patron. So go ahead and check that out if you want to be a part of our patron orientation coming up on this Sunday, July 25th at 4 p.m. Eastern. All right. And of course, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can follow the offers from our sponsors at robswebsite.com/offers and follow us on social media where we share so many clips from the episodes. Rob has a podcast on Twitter at RHAPGrams on Insta. All right. Great job. Thanks so much, Scott St. Pierre. All right. Oh, lost everybody. Okay. Here we go. All right. Maggie, of course, you joined myself and Akiva Winokur to talk about Cheaters on the latest Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast proper.
Yeah, very fun. I was pretty upset, though, to find out that you had an autographed photo from Joey Greco that we did not talk about.
We didn't talk about that. Yeah, I kind of forgot about that. I went to, like, there was like a reality TV, like, reality TV con that I went to, and it was a con. And like they had like people had like booths, and like Joey Greco had like a booth and was like signing autographs, and I got him to sign an autograph for me, and I posted that on my Instagram, the host of Cheaters.
Amazing.
Yeah.
It was so great to talk to you guys. Awesome. Awesome episode. You guys should check that out if you haven't yet.
Yes. If you are a fan of the TV show Cheaters, one of my favorites. What else is going on, Maggie?
Yeah, I'm just doing the live feed updates. I'm preparing for a future. Oh, thank you. Stacked in Florida. Is that what FL is? I've always wondered that.
Yes.
Thanks, guys. So nice. I'm doing a lot of Big Brother live feed updates, and also I am preparing. I will be on an upcoming Survivor season, so I'm starting to prepare. I am not. I'm gonna tease that I'll be on. I'm not saying which one. I don't want to spoil anything. I know it's kept top secret, but I will be on one soon. Mm-hmm. And so I'm starting my rewatch of that, which is fun. So yeah, that's what I'm up to.
Okay. Maggie, great job once again tonight. Jason, what's coming up for you? Anything?
You mentioned the Joe Millionaire pod we did.
Yes.
I also did another podcast with Chappelle with Josh Wiggler, where we talked about one of my childhood loves, Power Rangers. So if I don't think that's out yet. I believe it'll be out in the next few days, I believe.
Okay. Be on the lookout for that over on postshowrecaps.com. And then, Michael, what's coming up for you?
Butt ton of stuff. I got more stuff than corn pone on the backside of the barn during the rainy season. So the big thing that I'm super excited to announce is that on Friday afternoon at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Pacific, if you're part of a little app called Clubhouse,
yeah,
why don't you mosey on over there?
No invite needed.
This guy, old Green Thumbs over here, young Green Thumbs, I have the distinct pleasure of hosting a Clubhouse from the Big Brother account. It's going to be myself, and you've heard from them from Big Brother 16, Big Brother 22, and the bios of Big Brother 23. Derek and Cody are going to be... thank you very much, Rob Sambor. I'm glad you show your support. So it's going to be me and the Hitman talking about this season.
Are you the third Hitman now?
I guess I got brought in. I'm a little wary, though. They had me draw Skittles, and I don't feel great about that.
I mean,
but I'm going to hang on for as long as I can.
Mike, I prefer to think of the Hitman are like the poor man's Frenchie and Big D, right? I mean, that was like those two were up here.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they never gave motivational speeches to each other. So, like, that's not happening. So, yeah, so it's going to be, it's super short. It's like an hour long if you've seen the ones that Rob did in the preseason. We're hoping to do a bunch more of these across the season, but certainly excited to get their thoughts. Look, there has been a lot of Devin Shepherd comparisons, so I'm sure they have a lot of thoughts about that idea and so much more. So, again, that's 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Pacific in the Clubhouse app. Through Big Brother. Of course, I'm also going to be doing Exit Press, talking with the person who's evicted on Thursday night. Not going to reveal who it is. Their name might rhyme with Benchy, but sure, certainly should be an interesting time to talk. There's a lot of reality TV going on. Rob mentioned Australian Survivor. Survivor South Africa is going to have its merge episode happening, which is always one of the biggest milestones of the season. And so Shannon, Gus, and I have been going full speed with that, putting out like 2.5 to 3 hour podcasts every week, plus exit interviews, plus everything going on post show recap. Speaking of 2.5 hour to 3 hour podcasts, Josh Wiggler and I going down the hatch. I just watched the X-Files movie for the first time for the Bloom Files. That was wild and weird. There was a freaking spaceship in it.
Yeah.
I got a lot of thoughts about it. So you can check all that out. And the B&B was mentioned at the very beginning of this podcast. Liana and I will be making a return, not this weekend, but next weekend. We're going to reopen the doors for the B&B. We're going to try doing these every like 3 to 4 weeks. But to be frank, the season has been so wild up to this point that like I am chomping at the bit to talk about some nonsense with Liana about the season so far.
Mike, could you pitch us on a podcast called The Derek X-Files?
Yeah, so essentially it's going to be Derek sitting there. I'm describing the X-Files to him, and he's learning along the way. And he's like, wow, okay, interesting. And so he's learning about it, and then he'll eventually come back and fully know this information. And of course, he has a veto around his neck the entire time.
Yeah, something wild, like as a like a flash in the sky, and he's like,
what the hell just happened?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, great job, panel, tonight. This was a very fun Wednesday night edition. Be sure to join us on Thursday night, live after the eviction, to talk about everything that comes up in our goodbye farewell to Frenchie as we bid adieu to Mr. French.
And you spoke Italian?
Yes. And then maybe we'll get a new HOH as well. A lot to talk about tomorrow night. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye. Support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and it's hard work, but you know it's easy bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too. You're busy enough. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.